Thanks for singing with us. A little disappointed somebody took our dancers away, Jory. The song says, let church arise, you know. They're doing good. I had a nice, happy song dance to go on in the song that sings a little bit about what God has done with us, for us. This is God with us.
Who are we? Thank you.
Take everything to Jesus. Thanks for singing with us. Please be seated and welcome with somebody here while you're doing that too.
Good morning. I would like to start us off by welcoming you with Psalm 119, 129 through 136. We read them this morning in study, and I thought they would be really cool to share up here too. Your statutes are wonderful, therefore I obey them. The unfolding of your words gives light. It gives understanding to the simple. I open my mouth and pant, longing for your commands. Turn to me and have mercy on me, as you always do to those who love your name. Direct my footsteps according to your word. Let no sin rule over me. Redeem me from human oppression, that I may obey your precepts. Make your face shine on your servant and teach me your decrees. Streams of tears flow from my eyes, for your law is not obeyed. And this Psalm 119 is just full of ways that we can interact with God's word, and so I just thought that we could start this morning getting on the right mindset, that his commands are actually really amazing. Jesus came not to get rid of the law, the precepts, the commands, but to fulfill them, and I'm really excited to dive into God's Word today and some things that we have going on in ministry. So, Seth, you can open us up with announcements.
Yeah, absolutely. If you grab out your bulletins really quickly, there's one announcement that you absolutely have to hear, and the rest of them you just don't have to listen. The one announcement you absolutely have to hear is next week is daylight savings time, and so you're going to lose an hour. So for those of you who go to bed at 7, go to bed at 6, all right? And those of us who go to bed at 1 will go to bed at midnight, and we'll be good to go. But remember to set your clock backwards.
Does somebody in here go to bed at 7? I don't mean to call you out, but... Okay, above the age of 5. Wow. That is amazing, and it's got to be because you wake up...
Oh, we get an extra hour? Oh, good night. That is wonderful.
Yes, for you.
We can stay up till 2.
Don't high five that.
Yes. All right. The next... Fall back. I always remembered that. Okay. Go to bed at 6 still. All right. And then one other thing. If you didn't notice it, the Cool Teen Ladies had just a whole bunch of stuff there that you could buy. It is in... it actually isn't in the bulletin this week, but would you just go and support them? That is the way that they... raise funds so that they can do the quilt for Harvest Festival and all of that stuff. And also, that's how they raise funds for giving quilts to foster kids all the time in need and all of that sort of stuff. So please go back there, look at how you can kind of help them out, and it'll just go towards a great ministry. So do that.
The next thing is we have a baptism coming up. We're pretty excited. It may not be showing on my face how excited we are, but the baptism is going to be right here, like somewhere around here. We're going to bring water in here. It'll be very cold.
No.
But we're going to bring water in here. We're going to add like a trough or a
so if you have a portable pool. Jacuzzi.
A jacuzzi that's been donated. I'm not exactly sure what that's going to look like, but November 12th, we're going to have a baptism right here. It'll be towards the end of service, but it'll be during service. We'll all get to witness it. Normally, we go all the way out to Fort Peck or the Dredge Cuts or something like that. It's a little chilly for that. But we still want to make sure that as people are feeling internally what's going on with them and the Lord, that externally they can share that with all of us and become part of the family. And we're really excited. So if you would like to be a part of baptism, November 12th, I think it's not this, yes. So there's this Sunday, there's next Sunday, which is Harvest Festival, and then the next Sunday. Yeah. So just a few weeks away. If God's putting it on your heart to do that, share with me, Seth, Terry,
yeah.
and let us know.
Absolutely. And he mentioned something for next week that you're definitely going to want to be a part of. Next week is our Harvest Festival, November 5th. And so here's the deal with Harvest Festival. This is what I need you guys to know about Harvest Festival is this is our one time a year every week this should be this way, but we celebrate as a church family of the harvest that God's just given us. We look around us, and of course the season's changed, but we need to remember the goodness of God. And so this is where we get to actually take a step back and say, hey, I want to recognize the goodness of God in my life this whole entire year. And so what we do with that is we come and celebrate as a family together, and we bring in some missionary speakers to be able to tell us what's going on in the world and what God is doing in the souls of people around the world. And then what we do is we take an offering for that, and all the offering that day goes to missions and missionaries that we support all year long and some of their special projects that they have going on. And so please mark your calendar for next week. And all I need you to do, okay, for next week is this. If you would like to be a part of it, well, everybody's a part of it. But afterwards, we have a dinner. And so we're just asking people to bring a side salad and a pie. Or just two pies and no side salads, and that's fine, because we will supply the meat and the mashed potatoes, and then you guys just bring the side salads that go with that. And please stay afterwards. There's always plenty of food, and so we just get to celebrate the goodness of God next week.
Yeah, we get to have lunch together.
Yeah,
and I'm
absolutely
excited about that. Now, there's one thing. When we bring in speakers, I know We're bringing in Joel Corley from Stepping Out Missions will be here to speak for the kind of main message. But we also have somebody speaking right before that, right?
Yeah, and so he is a missionary from OMS. His name is Octavio, and I'm not even going to try to pronounce his last name. But really cool guy. He's in Ekalaka today. And then tomorrow, somebody's bringing him from Ekalaka halfway, and then we're going to meet and pick him up. And so, but here's what I need is I need somebody, we're going to put him up in a hotel for a couple of days so he can get his bearings. And then he says that he would like to kind of hang out with a family for the rest of the week, or somebody who's got a room in their house. And so if you do and you would love to house a missionary for the rest of the week, would you just come and talk to me, and I will get that information, and we'll be good to go. But if you would like to do that, that would be awesome for us.
And even just a couple days, we're thinking maybe Wednesday night to Monday night is what we need. So Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, that's a lot to, but if we had somebody that said, I'll do Wednesday, Thursday, then we'll move into another house for a couple days, move into another house, even three people, that would work, because then he'd get to see a lot of the church family. You get to meet and talk, and who knows what God can do through some of those dinner conversations or breakfast conversations or cleaning up dirty towels on the bathroom floor. Who knows?
Yep, like, absolutely.
The next thing is, man, it feels like we have a lot of announcements.
We do.
But if you look at the back of the bulletin, the very back where we all of us diligently write down sermon notes while Seth's talking later, right below that, we have Guatemala is what it says. And I've been in communication with the orphanage over the last month or so, and they've compiled a list for us. And so what this is actual needs that are right now in the orphanage we're going to be going to in less than a month. And so what we're gonna try to do is, in our packing list personally, we only need a suitcase and a carry-on. And so what we'd like is for our church family to donate old ratty suitcases that we can duct tape together and leave there and not have to pay for them to come back. And so if you have any of those old suitcases, bring them. And then we're if anybody would like to donate the $50 to get them over there, that would be appreciated, but not necessary. But we want to fill those extra suitcases with the needs that you see back here on the list. And so there's a festival that they do every year during Thanksgiving, and so some of those cooking supplies are for that. But there's needs that kids actually have right now. There's some other things that we're going to buy once we get over there. But if you would like to personally help supply immediate needs that are needed, this is a great opportunity to do that. So next Sunday and the Sunday after, you can bring stuff in. Also, it's listed on there that we need shoes. I actually have a list right here of the names of the kids that need what size of shoes. And so literally you could go buy a pair of shoes and I'll give you the name of the kid you can pray for that those shoes will be on. And so that's really exciting. This isn't something that we've done previously, but I think it's really amazing that not all of us are called to actually go on these missions, but to be here and help support. And we'll definitely have pictures of the shoes that you bought on Melvin, Enrique, Victor, Isaac, David, Anthony. We'll have the pictures of those, and you'll be able to see these shoes actually on somebody. And so anyway, if you would like to, if you have questions about stuff that's on the back of your bulletin, please come see me. If you would like to sign up, I'm going to put your name right on here that you will get the shoes for one of those kids. Or anything else, just bring it in next Sunday. If you don't have any questions, just bring it in next Sunday, and that'll be helpful. And really appreciate it. Along with that, the other thing we're doing to supply the needs for this mission trip is on the 12th, the day we have the baptism, after church, we're going to have a pie auction. And so if you would like to, I have a whole list from last year of everyone that did pies, and we had 24 people sign up and something like almost 40 pies or pie options that were donated. And so if you'd like to do that again, please come see me. I can put you on the list. And all the money that goes from this pie auction goes to just either help a student that might not be fully funded yet, or it helps with the projects that we're going to be doing while we're over there.
Yeah, good job. Hey, are there any other announcements that you guys have? I know there's one over here somewhere, or a couple. Yeah. Oh, one right there. There we go.
Good Hi, I'm Stephanie Petty, and Elizabeth Shipstead is running the 3 and 4 year olds Christmas program, but she is home with a sick child. So rather than sharing that with all of us, which we all appreciate, I am taking over for today. We're going to be meeting in the middle classroom. If you're in Awana, it's the yellow room. That helped me. Should be maybe 15 minutes at the most, right after the service. Just give me a couple minutes to get my kids set up and get our music in there, and we'll meet in there for 15 minutes, go over the songs, go over the poem, and then you guys can go on your way. So anybody with 3 and 4 year olds, meet us in the middle classroom in that hallway right over there. Thanks.
There you go, raise your hand. Can't read minds.
I didn't know if I was now or later. I just read this book, and it's about Operation Christmas Child, and our church is sponsoring the drop-off for it, and I just want to share this with you. Samaritan's Purse is a non-denominational and evangelical Christian organization providing spiritual and physical aid to hurting people around the world. Since 1970, Samaritan's Purse has helped meet the needs of people who are victims of war, poverty, natural disasters, disease, and famine, with the purpose of sharing God's love through His Son, Jesus Christ. The organization serves the church worldwide to promote the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. The mission of Operation Christmas Child is to demonstrate God's love in a tangible way to needy children around the world, and together with the local church worldwide to share the good news of Jesus Christ. I asked Seth if I should cry before, during, or after, and he said all three. So, first of all, I need help praying, because this whole operation is done by prayer. And so if you could help in that. I also need help wrapping some shoeboxes. And so there's the table out here, and there's shoeboxes. You don't have to fill them, but we need help wrapping, because there's people that have donated things, keep donating things, but we also need just people helping wrap. And also we need help to have people check in the shoeboxes during collection week, and that is in November, and there will be a sign out sheet, and you can just come for a couple hours, and all you do is pray with the people that bring their shoeboxes and have them sign their name and just be a physical presence here. And then on that Sunday, we just put all of the shoeboxes into big shipping crates, and then they're shipped. So if you have any questions, please ask me. And this little book I read is an amazing story of how even a shoebox can change many, many lives. So thank you.
And we're going to watch a video about that shoebox that some of you have seen before, but about how we can be involved as a church family to be a part of that during the offering later on. So go ahead, Jessica.
Hi, I'm Jessica DeGreek. I've been talking to you every week about the Thanksgiving box. We are doing great, and I'm so thankful for everyone that has been donating. We are, I think, up to 7 families, which is awesome. I'm pretty impressed, actually, that you all have gotten that far. But we still need to get up to 10, so just see myself or Seth, and we'll be happy to take the donation from you. Thanks.
So just a reminder about that, our church is partnering with a church in Wolf Point to give Thanksgiving Day boxes to families that are in need of that. And so we go through a local church there because they definitely know the needs of their community. And so that Thanksgiving box is $55. And so if you want to help out with that, you certainly can. So are there any other announcements this morning? All right. Hey, we're going to move into sharing prayer. And so what that means is I need you to reach in front of your pocket in front of you, into that seat pocket. And I just really need you to write down prayer requests for you this week. One of the things that we have absolutely once again loved is that Man, that prayer works always. We've seen it. The prayer team writes down all of these prayers every single week. Our staff read and pray over them at least three times a week. And so we've just really enjoyed this. And here is just something, an opportunity for you to say, hey, this is what I'm concerned about. And as you're writing these down, these are literally you just telling God what is on your heart. And so we just get to pray as a family over that. And I absolutely love that. And so please, would you just fill those out and turn them into the offering basket as it goes by. But for you guys this morning, I need you to add one person to your prayer list. Michael Brandt is in the hospital right now. And so he's been touch and go a little bit, lots of pain. They don't know why he has pain, but just really having a hard time. And so if you'd be praying for him this week, that would be phenomenal for us. And just be praying about the Joel Corley family as they're driving here this week. They'll be actually coming from Ohio and driving all the way up as a whole entire family. And so just be praying for them that they get great windshield time as a family. And then as they're here, we get to bless them. And so those are the prayer requests that I'm asking you guys this morning. And so would you pray with me as a family? Hey God, every week, this is your day. And even as I'm just sitting here, it's pretty much that every day that ends with a day is yours. And God, would we just realize that you are the creator, the sustainer, the holding, the glue that holds all of this together. And God, you are continually working in our hearts. You're continually cultivating areas in which we can grow towards you. And Lord, we want to open up our hearts for that. God, places to serve and times to be able to learn a little bit more about you, because your statutes and your how you set up this world is amazing. And it is a wellspring of life. And God, as we come to you this morning, would we realize all of those things, that there is a reason and a purpose for every single one of us being here today. It's not just happenstance. It's just not something that is by fluke, but God, that you are doing something in our lives. And God, would we be attentive to it? Would we open our hearts up to you? And would we know that wherever we're at, in the people who are just full of joy this morning, to the people that are just in the lowest of the lows, and everybody in between, God, that we would realize that you know exactly what's going on in our lives, and we can lay those at your feet. God, with Michael being in the hospital, Lord, I pray that you would give him a little bit of comfort. I know yesterday he just said he was in great pain. And so, Lord, would you help the doctors figure out what's going on? And Lord, guide their hands. And man, they are very smart people. And would we just be willing to trust them and to be patient with them? And Lord, with the Corley family driving here, would you just give them great windshield time for you as they even prepare just to share their hearts of ministry with us next week? God, I think about Operation Christmas Child, and I think about the whole purpose is that we would connect people to you by a simple gift. And God, would you just open up our hearts to be able to desire to do that? Would you help us to step in when we need to step in? And God, would you help us to love the community well? God, as we're going into the busy season of holidays, Lord, would we still remember your message of truth, your message of grace, and that we would love our neighbors, and that we would grow in a deeper relationship with you?
Lord, I think about all of the things that we have going on as we get closer and closer to your birthday, the things that we can be thankful for, people that, need help. And as we put our requests out to this amazing church family and church body, Lord, I know that it's not a burden, but it's an opportunity for us all to serve. It's to feel exactly where you're calling us and, to be a part of something bigger than us, something outside of us, and something more geared towards you than the everyday life that we may find ourselves trapped in. And so, Lord, I thank you for the opportunity to send boxes out, to send Thanksgiving dinners out, to send suitcases out, to send money out, to send people out. Lord, that everything that we do can be pointed outward, and that our relationship with you can continue to grow today, tomorrow, and every day. Lord, we thank you so much. We leave all of these requests to the most level playing field there is, the foot of the cross, and all God's people said,
amen.
Amen.
I'm going to ask the ushers to come forward, and we'll take our morning's offering. And while we do, hey, this is just a, the video that we're going to show is just a tangible way of how you can be a part of what's going on with Operation Christmas Child. And so go ahead and hit it, guys.
You know what goes great with a glass of milk? Packing an Operation Christmas Child jukebox. Okay, let's be honest. Packing an Operation Christmas Child shoebox can go great with anything. It's so that other kids can learn about Jesus.
Praise the Lord.
Oh, and it's also a great way to teach your own kids about giving.
Teach your kids about giving.
Have a great day. Oh, and don't forget, make good choices. So basically, you get an empty box, which any box will work. Really? Okay, not any box. Much better. Okay, so now you have your empty box. Now you can pick the age range, and if you want to be for a boy or a girl. Okay, come on, please be a boy. Please be a boy. Well, looks like we're gonna be packing for a boy this year. First, you can choose a wow item, such as a soccer ball or a stuffed animal. And you can choose other fun toys too. Hygiene items, oh, and school supplies. There are, of course, some items you cannot pack, like liquids, food, items related to war, live animals, and don't even think about packing chocolate because it melts. No candy and no toothpaste. When your gift is finished, you can write a letter and include a photo. It gives it a nice personal touch. When your box is done, you can make your shipping donation online through Follow Your Box. Simply print off your tracking label to see where the destination of your gift will be. And don't forget, it's important to pray for the child that is receiving this gift, because packing a box is a simple way to share the gospel with kids all around the world. Maybe even in Africa. Now that your box is done, it's time to get moving. Transport your box to a nearby drop-off location near you. These will be open all across the U.S. on National Collection Week, the third week in November. Drop it off and voila, you pack the shoebox. Easy as one, two, three.
You guys to be a part of Operation Christmas Child this year, especially that we are the drop-off. And if you can't pack a box, just go talk to Julie. She's got lots of different ideas of how you can help her out this season. Great? Awesome. Hey, if you are 3 years old to third grade, my kid told me this week you have to hop out of here. Don't skip, you have to hop. Yeah. No, Silas, you're not going to hop, huh? All right. That's my kid. Yeah. All right. I'm impressed with the kids that were hopping, actually. That's impressive to me. All right, hey, if you are still with me, turn to John chapter 15. We're going to sit in a piece of scripture this week, just a section, and we're not really going to move much out of it. This piece of scripture has been seriously ruminating in my mind all week long, just trying to figure out how I am going to relate it to us today and what's going to happen. And I absolutely have started to enjoy this piece of scripture, even though at first it was really hard for me. And so let's just dive right on in this morning, and then we'll unpack it together. And so we're going to start in verse 18, John 15, verse 18. Here we go. If the world hates you, remember that it hated me first. The world would love you as one of its own if you belong to it. But you are no longer part of the world. I chose you to come out of the world, so it hates you. Do you remember what I told you? A slave is not greater than the master. Since they persecuted me naturally, they will persecute you. And if they had listened to me, they would listen to you. They do all of this to you because of me. They have rejected the one who sent me. They would not be guilty if I had not come and spoken to them, but now they have no excuse for their sin. Anyone who hates me also hates my Father. If I hadn't done such miraculous signs among them that no one else could do, they would not be guilty. But as it is, they have seen everything I did, yet they still hate me and my Father. This fulfills what is written in their scripture. They hated me without cause. The reason why I kind of landed on this piece of scripture today is because last week we talked about washing the feet. And at the very end of the scripture of Jesus washing the disciples' feet, he says something very interesting. In verse 16, he says, I tell you the truth, slaves are not greater than their master, nor is the messenger more important than the one who sends the message. And I started just thinking about that in terms of what is Jesus trying to accomplish in his disciples' lives? Because of course we all know that, right? We all know that a slave is not greater than the master, or vice versa, also that the messenger is not greater than the one who sent the message. And I started just thinking about that in terms of what he said here. He's also saying, hey, by the way, you're not greater than the master. Remember this. And something I thought about is very interesting to me is that everything that happens to Jesus, we should expect should happen to us. And so as I was just thinking about this, I started realizing that, wait a second, is everything that happened to Jesus actually happening to us? And so that's kind of where we're going to go today, because Jesus is setting them up to realize that here pretty soon, Jesus is going to die. And so what does that look like for us in our lives? Would you pray with me? God, as we look into this scripture, would you open up our hearts? Scripture has the power to change direction in our lives. It has the power to stop us from doing the wrong things that we're doing and turn around towards you. And so, God, when we look at this scripture, would we realize what you're trying to do in our hearts? We love you. In your holy name we pray. Amen. So when I was thinking about this and thinking about people hating somebody, I started kind of thinking about stories in my life where people might hate me. And I realized that there's something different between somebody hating you just for who you are and somebody hating you for the message that you're trying to portray. And so I thought about the very first time I ever got in a fight. And so I was 6 years old. I was living in Vancouver, Washington. And I still remember this because I'm pretty sure this is the only fight I ever won in my life, right? And so I'm 6 years old, and me and my friend, who's across the street, we are playing with the only action figure I ever owned, He-Man, right? It is the greatest action figure, He-Man and She-Ra. And so, of course, I didn't have She-Ra, I had He-Man. And so we are playing with this, and I, all of a sudden, my friend says, "Whoa, I gotta go." He picks up my He-Man and runs across the street, and I am chasing him, going, "Hey, dude, that's my He-Man." And he's like, "No, I brought it here." And I said, "No, clearly you did not," because I had really good English at that time. "Clearly you did not. That is mine." And he looks at me and goes, "No, absolutely, I brought it. It's mine." And I said, "Hey, give it to me right now." And of course, he runs inside, and all of a sudden, I start chasing him. And so he runs to the backyard and all the way in the back, and I get him cornered, right? This is when Seth Runner gets to attack. And so I got him into a corner, and I punched his stomach and punched him in the face, and he dropped my He-Man, and I took it, and I ran home. Needless to say that He-Man did not stay in my possession for very long, because I ended up having to give the kid my He-Man, right? And one of the things I think about is I did not play with that kid for the rest of the day. Or I shouldn't. For the rest of the time that I lived there, I remember moving quite a lot then. But one of the things I thought about was, man, does he hate me at that very moment because of a great message I had? Or does he hate me because I'm just a jerk? I'm mean. We do that all the time, and I think sometimes in the world when we go, as we look at this piece of scripture and we go, people hate people all the time. That's not a big deal. So I started wondering and started thinking about, what if it was simply the way that people hate us is because of the way we live for Christ, not simply just who we are on the inside. Because if we actually started taking on the character of Christ, it would be crazy how much people would actually hate us a lot more. I walk around a lot of times worried how people are going to take me. And I start to realize that, wait a second, I'm completely missing the message of Jesus Christ. Because I can tell you right now that without even saying, I can tell you, you can pick somebody in your mind that you absolutely do not like. I'm not going to go hate, because hate's a hard word for me. But there is somebody in your life right now that you absolutely do not like. And for what reason? Is it because they've done something to you and you need to get back to them? Or have they just not done something in which you think is the right way to live about things? Hey, in our church, we've done some things that I'm sure our community thinks that we're nuts by, that we're crazy by. And we try our best. I'm telling you, we're always going to make mistakes. But there's some people who just look at us and go, "You're doing all the wrong things. Why would I even want to be a part of that church?" But I have a question. Is it out of our relationship with God? Or is it out of just what we think we should be doing as human beings? Because I think Jesus gives an amazing description about why the world should be hating us. And if they're just hating you because you're just a jerk of a person, man, maybe we need to change the way we view things. Maybe we need to change the way of who we are. And so if you're still with me and you haven't checked out and you're taking notes, here's the first thing that I think about when I look at this first piece of scripture is this. Is that when we are in Christ, when we are with Christ, we are in good company. The very first verse out there, "If the world hates you, remember that it hated me first." He's getting them to realize that when you do the crazy things in this world, when you actually step up for truth, people start to really not like what you're doing. I used to think that this verse or this section of scripture was literally about how much I that the world will hate me in the correlation to how much I don't like what's going on in the world. And then I changed my viewpoint, because if I'm actually looking at the good, being in good company with Christ, it's this way, that the world will hate me is a direct correlation to how much I actually love the people of this world. Because when I start moving towards absolute love and sharing the truth of the gospel and being with people and doing the hard things of this life, people begin to think I'm nuts. And then, and only then, do I really just want to be in the good company with Christ. Because that's all I need. But sometimes when we get into a hard moment, what do we say? It's just not worth it. Or why am I going through this struggle? Jesus already said it in John 16:33. He says, in this world, you're going to have tribulations. If we know that Satan is in control of this world, Satan hates God. And so if we are for God, why would we think it's going to be an easy haul? If we're working towards righteousness and all that is good, why would Satan ever want us to be doing things well? You see, here's the deal. When Jesus comes, this is what he says. These are the things he exposes. He exposes people's hypocrisy. He takes the masks off their sins. He condemns the things that people love, the earthly, the sensual things. And he did something completely different. He started to say, hey, he declared the path to true happiness was through self-denial, not self-indulgence. You see, to be and to share with Christ means that actually we actually do the things of Christ. We don't get to hop back and forth and go, this is what I'm going to love in the world, and this is what I'm going to love about Jesus. No, I'm jumping all in. And that looks crazy. See, I think that this scripture starts to really deal with the inside of us, because he's telling us why the world hates him and why the world is going to hate us. Man, before Jesus, we're ignorant, right? We don't know what's going on. After Jesus, we're sitting there going, there's something I've got to change about my life. We don't have any more excuses. We're faced with the truth of the gospel, and we have to figure out, what do we need to change about our hearts? I'm in this discipleship group with a couple people on Sunday mornings, and it's been fantastic to see each and every week, just even by asking them, what should I pray for you about? Their change in their thought process on changing how God is working in their lives. And it seems crazy. It seems nuts to a lot of people that they would be praying for, hey, would you just pray that I would be able to talk to this person? Whereas before it was, hey, I just want to be able to talk with Jesus more. Man, just in 4 weeks, they're transforming into going, no, this is crazy. This is not who I am, but I want to be who God wants me to be. And the problem is sometimes that's really scary, because as soon as we start pushing against somebody's belief system, what happens? Don't push that crap on me. Don't you do that to me. You just deal with your own Jesus, but don't try to talk to me about that. And at some point, we have to, like I've always said, you have to do something with Christ. You have to do something with him. And here's the deal. Remember, the world hated him first. So whatever he's asking us to do as believers, nothing is nothing compared to what he had to go through. Which then begs the next question. And so I actually look at a point, and then I have a question today, and then I have a point and a question. And so my next question to you is this, in if you're still taking notes, is, are you a lover of this world? Are you a lover of this world? Verse 19 says, the world would love you as one of its own if you belong to it. But you are no longer part of the world. I chose you to come out of the world, so it hates you. The reason why I ask this is if you're not going through some sort of maybe people questioning your motives or what's going on in your life, I wonder if you haven't maybe pushed those boundaries a little bit. I wonder if you're actually not listening to God and you just rather sit back in your comfortable world and not really face things. I wonder if we love our stuff more than we love people. I wonder if you identify with Christ more than you identify with the world. And only you can answer that. I can't give you 4 points on how to do that. I think that you have to do the work with God. I think you get to sit down and you get to say, do I desire God more than anything else? It's not a, hey, I love Jesus and I love tacos. It's an I love Jesus thing. Because I love the fact that Jesus is saying to his disciples, I chose you. I chose you from this moment I asked you to follow me. I chose you to be different from the world. My question is I wonder how much different we look than the world. Peter says things like this. He said he was called out of darkness into marvelous light. We see Paul, who is adamant against the Christians, who he was killing them, and God says, no, I chose you to be an ambassador for me. Later on in some of Paul's writings, he calls us, he says, you are a royal priesthood, a chosen nation. He's talking about people who come to Christ. I wonder if we walk around as if we're a chosen nation. I wonder if we walk around as if we're headed towards marvelous light. Or we're just trying to mitigate our lives. I wonder how many of us this morning are in a horrible pit and we haven't realized that God has chosen us yet. Like I said, there's a reason why you're here this morning. Some of you don't even realize that God is calling you and saying, come. He's saying, I've chosen you. Would you please just give me everything? Because here's the deal. I know that it stinks. And there are some of you, once again, who are incredibly joyous on a Sunday morning and full of joy. And man, life is good right now. But then there's others of you who are going, God, what the heck are you doing in my life right now? I don't get it. I don't understand. You tell me I'm supposed to trust you, but I really don't. And I wonder if you would be willing this morning to go, okay, God, I know you're calling me and you're choosing me for something different here. Would you work in my life a little bit more? And some of you are sitting here going, wait a second. You're supposed to be talking about how the world hates us. Here's the problem. As soon as we start switching into this mode of I'm chosen, people will start to go, you're crazy, you're weird, we don't like you, please stop hanging out with us. But I would rather live in the part where, in the world in which God chose me, in the world in which God already has taken all of the hatred on himself, so that I can live in freedom. So that I know that I don't have to take on the things of this world anymore. I used to think that this scripture was all about if I got closer with Jesus, then I would hate the world more. And I feel like as I read this scripture, it is, if I get closer to Jesus, I'll start realizing what this world is about, and I really want to love people more. I want to help them realize what God is doing in their lives. Could you imagine a church that's consistently going around and going, hey, I'm not being conformed to the world, I'm being transformed by the renewing of our mind, and we are walking around in truth and we're sharing truth and allowing people to see a real true gospel, how much they would be drawn to us and others would absolutely hate us. But at least I would know the love I'm sharing with other people. Or is it that I just go with the flow of things? This is what's happening, so I'll just go with the flow. Jesus says you can't have two masters. And so I'll ask you again, are you a lover of the world? Or do you want God to transform your heart? And the third point that I got out of this piece of scripture and found in verse 20 is this, is that you should look forward to persecution when you are doing what God asks of you. Why is it that we are continually over and over again asking God to kind of keep us comfortable? In the midst of Paul and his friend in the jail, what does Paul say? Hey, well, why don't we start singing? Why don't we start praising God? Because I think in the midst of persecution and when we look forward to it, it is completely the growing of our faith. And maybe not persecution in the way of, hey, I'm sitting in jail, but some of you are going through some major struggles. Work is hard. The coworkers you're with are really not who you'd like to be hanging around with. The things that are in our life that just keep weighing us down over and over again. And I look at it and I go, are you sitting in that moment right now going, I just want to do what God asks of me? Or do you sit there and plan and scheme how you can get out of it? Or how you can make it easier on yourselves? I think this is where the realm of prayer comes in. I think that when we actually are in the moment of going, God, I want to look forward to persecution. I want to look forward to what you're trying to accomplish in my life. I'd much rather have your way than my own way. Jesus prayed about it constantly, right? He's about ready to go in the Garden of Gethsemane, and what does he pray? God, if it's your will, I'm willing to go through this. But would you please take this from me? Do you look forward to persecution when you are doing what God asks of you? Or, once again, do you want to live a comfortable life? Verse 20 says this, it says, do you remember what I told you? A slave is not greater than his master. Since they persecuted me, naturally they will persecute you. And if they had listened to me, they would listen to you. I love that phrase, because they didn't listen to Jesus, so they're not going to listen to you either, just to let you know. But I think about the idea of, is a slave greater than the master? I'm absolutely not greater than Jesus. but I desired to be like him and to do what he's asking me to do and to follow him. And in that, I know what's going to happen. Which brings me to my last point this morning, and that is this, and it's a question. Do people hate you because of the gospel or because you are a bad representation of the gospel? Do people hate you because of the gospel or because you are a bad representation of the gospel? And the reason why I ask that question is because I think that if I'm doing what the gospel asked me to do, if I'm being the person that Christ asked me to be, then I have full knowledge that I'm okay, that God's got me, that I'm doing what he wants me to do. But if I'm continually worried that people are mad at me, that people hate me, that people don't like what I'm saying, then that means that I'm probably not spending the time that I need to with God, and I'm just being a bad representation of the gospel. I had a friend probably a couple years ago say this phrase to me, and I know I've said it to you, but it's like a little plaque in my office, and it's simply three words. It's just good God people. And I love to play around with the way you say things, because for some of it, you could look at it and you go, that person's just a good God person. They always are saying that God is good. They're always pointing to God. Or some people could look at it and go, that person, good God, what's going on with that person? Right? What's wrong with them? And I look at that, and I just love the idea of when you're coming to this and you're looking at this piece of scripture, because Jesus did everything in verses 21 through 25. He literally says, I had to come so that people could see what's going on, because they cannot hide anymore. And if they actually see what's going on, then they have to do something about it. Their sin is exposed and they have to deal with it. My question in the idea of, do people hate you because of the gospel, or are you a bad representation of the gospel? It's because I wonder what sort of good God person you are. Jesus came so that he continually point back to the Father over and over again. And are you a Christian because you want to continue to point back to Jesus, or do you just want to be able to have a genie in your pocket every once in a while, and maybe you can roll the dice and he'll tell you what to do? Because here's the deal. The world is glad to forget about God, but Jesus came to bring man back to God. And I wonder if that's your whole intent and purpose, is to bring people continually back to God, or if it's to just be okay and let the world like you. Is our purpose for loving people to get them to like us and think that we are good people? Or is it to point to God? I'm going to invite the worship band up, and as they come up here, I want to leave you with one very last thought. And I was thinking about all of this, the world hating us and not hating us, and just going, no, I want the things of God to be more in my life, and it's okay if the world hates me. I'm all right with that. But it has to come out of my relationship with God. It has to come out of, do I love the Lord my God with all my heart, my soul, and my strength? And as we sing these songs this morning, I want you to think about this. Are you busy in your life trying to defend God? Or are you busy in your life trying to realize that God doesn't need a defense, but he does need somebody walking with him? and sharing him. Because the songs we're about to sing this morning, Amazing Grace, My Chains Are Gone, only God can do that. That's nothing that I can do. And I have to allow people to be able to see that. And the last one is this, is that I don't save anybody. God does. And so the only thing through this that I was looking at and reading in the world's hatred is really, I don't care if the world hates me anymore. What I do care about, am I doing the things of God? Because then we fulfill what he's calling us to do. Just like he fulfilled what God was calling him to do by going to the cross and dying for us. So, I'm curious, are you worried about what the world thinks about your Christianity, or are you more concerned about allowing God to work through your life? Take it away. Thanks.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved.
Everyone needs compassion, love that's never failed. Let mercy fall on me. Everyone needs forgiveness, the kindness of a Savior, the hope of nations.
Thing I want to say is what is the world? And I tried to like think of what the world is as I was sitting down here processing. And the first thing I wrote down was Walmart. Makeup, new toys, whether you're a kid or an adult, I think we all get new toys. But then finally I came to this: the world is not eternal. The world is going to burn. The world is temporary. The world is the stuff that momentarily makes us happy. The world is accepting of everything and a lover of no one but self. Let me say that again. The world is accepting of everything and a lover of no one but self. That is the world. And so how do we combat that? And it says that we need to be friends with Jesus before we're friends of the world. And so what does it look like to be hated by the world? Well, I wrote it's dark, fruitless, and joyless. But to be loved by Jesus is light, fruitful, and joyful. People are always going to hate you, whether you're a Christian or not. My favorite phrase, I'm going to change this a little bit, but people are mean. All people. We start the beginning of God's word with just defining that. Don't be surprised when people hate you. Be surprised for why they hate you. That's what this verse is talking about. They should hate you because you're not accepting of everything, but you are a lover of everyone except yourself. They should hate you because you're light, you're too bright for this dark world. They should hate you because there's too much fruit, amazing, joyful fruit from God. And it's irrational hate. The rational hate that we face at work, in the school, on social media, whatever that may be, if we can blame it on an action that we've done and not a love that we've given, that's because you've loved the world. But when you're sharing God, you're sharing love, it's an irrational hate. The verse right above where we read 18 through 25 in John chapter 15, there's verse 11 I had underlined. And I think this is what we're going to close on here. I've told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. This isn't something that's actually depressing. God is telling us that we're going to be hated by the world, and that is joyful. We're going to be hated by the temporary things of this world, but we're going to be loved by Him, and that's joyful. I don't think hate always, also, when it comes from the world, doesn't always look like from people. Sometimes hate looks like the car breaking down and how you handle it. Bad times coming along and how you handle it. And it looks like that some of those times are like, what, does the world just hate me? Yes! The world does. Does God hate me? No. Look at it different. He's told you this because He wants you to be filled with joy. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for the Sabbath. Thank you for Sunday morning. And Lord, may we celebrate you the rest of the day. May that celebration today turn into tomorrow living for you. Tuesday, given energy from you. Wednesday, being renewed through you. Thursday, strong enough to still share you. Friday, Saturday, and again back here on Sunday. Lord, I pray that you give us the strength every day to share you, be strong in your love, your grace, your forgiveness, your patience, your joy. And can we share it regardless of what we get in return? We love you, Lord. It's in your name we pray. Amen.